Listeners, the TV announcer said during the Vermont Notre Dame game this weekend that Vermont only had two right-handed shooters on its roster. In recruiting, do you keep a balance of right and left-handed shooters or go with the best available player?
Best available player, but you do pay attention to that a little bit. You know, you can't. Obviously, it hasn't hurt their team. They're having a good, real good year. So, but definitely, it's the best available player. And then only in a certain situation, I think, would you maybe take a righty versus a lefty. But for the most part, you take the best available player.
I really like how good our defensemen are playing the offside and pulling that puck pulling that puck off the boards quickly and moving it to the other D.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of our strong points.
We spend a lot of work working on some of those skills in practice where, you know, you're not on your onside when everything's as easy that you got to, you know, maybe take a pass on your back and pull it to your forehand and either take a step and shoot it or make a good pass across the blue line. And, you know, I sing the praises of our defensemen. They're a really good group all the way around.
And for people who don't understand the importance of that, having a defenseman with his stick in the middle of the ice is obviously a better scoring situation, scoring angle than on the boards.
Well, it is, but both our goals came off one-timers when they're on their offside. True. So there's some advantage to be on that opposite side where, you know, you're not just receiving the puck and shooting it. You can open up and take that one-time shot.
Right, which
that's the point you're trying to make. Yeah, so they're not on their on side; they're on their off side,
which makes it difficult. The puck comes around on the boards on the wrap; you got to pull it off.
Yeah, pull off your backhand to your forehand. But in the shooting situation, it sometimes can easier. You get it away quicker and whatnot. But no, they handle the puck pretty well. Those guys.
Here's the next question: what's the financial breakdown for schools that host WCHA playoff games? How big of a cut goes to the league from ticket sales and what goes to the campus?
Well, that's about my pay grade, so I just worry about making sure the team's ready to play. Yeah, no. I mean, there's a certain guarantee that each school has to guarantee for hosting the playoffs, whether it's $25,000 for the weekend. I'm not sure what it is. And then there's a certain percentage that you get for hosting. And there's a lot of little things that go into it. But I know we make money off of it, and it's good. It goes back into our athletic department, which is good, which is huge. So anytime you host the playoffs is good.
How much does this is my question? How much does being home now for a stretch strengthen the routine for the guys?
Well, it really helps.
As far as school
I think it really helps. The schoolwork, the travel, the rest. You're in your own bed. Your normal hours. I mean, we haven't had that. So, not excuse. You got to get used to it. But late in the year, it can be a grind. So right now, I think it's going to be very huge, very important. You don't have to get on a bus for that first round and travel somewhere. Our longest trip right now is 100 miles down to Marquette for one game in the next 3 weeks. That's huge. And hopefully we can continue to play on that fourth week and be home again. And then, if you're fortunate to make it to the final weekend of WCHA playoffs, it's just a one game winner take all. You don't have to go in there and win a 2 out of 3, anything like that. You've just got to go in there and play lights out for one game. So that's what our intention is, and obviously it's huge because we're only going to get one team, I believe, in the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be the team that wins our league playoffs. So, and it's a one game take all.
Coach, with more time now this week to practice, are there any specific things you plan on working on?
Well, power play for sure. You know, we'll work on that more. We'll work on more D-zone coverage. And then our offensive transition. We do a lot of good things without the puck to turn the puck over. And then you have to take advantage of it. You have to transition teams quicker than we have been. And then we have to execute the play. So we'll be spending a lot of time on just simple things like passing and receiving and trying to execute, whether it's a simple 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2. And then we've got to continue to work on our in-zone play and getting people to the net. As you can see, our defensemen get the puck a lot. It's just the way teams play. They collapse, and Ferris is the same way. They'll swarm. They'll get three guys down in the corner, and they'll cut the ice in a small section and make you play 3-on-5 down low, which opens up your defensemen. So continue to work on that. We'll work on a couple of face-off plays that we haven't instituted yet just to have it in your hat. But, no, there's some specific things. We've got to work on, with Angus a little bit. I think Joe and Angus got to spend some time together and watch some video and have some communication and get him back to where we need to get him.
Next question talks about Angus. Coach, how concerned are you with Angus Redmond getting all of the playing time / start? starts, and is there a difference between a goaltender playing every game compared to a forward playing every game all year?
No, I don't believe there is. And like I said, I've had in the past, whether it's been Marty Turco or Al Montoya or Jamie Phillips, whoever it might be, Phoenix Copley. No, and he's fine. He's just going for a little funk. Sometimes, I feel bad for him because he's not getting any work. Then all of a sudden, puck bounces. There's a guy all alone in front of the net on him, So I think sometimes it's easier for goaltenders to get in a routine. And when you're seeing a lot of shots, Angus is not seeing many shots. I don't know where we'd be interesting. Somebody out there can look it up for me, where we stand in the country as far as
shots allowed.
Shots allowed. I would say I would think we got to be in the top 10, and I don't know what the margin is either. Shots for and against Corsi. I think we're like top five Corsi shots attempted versus shots given up. So I believe we are. Last time I looked, I think we're top five Corsi, like Penn State and maybe Boston College and North Dakota and somebody like that. So we're doing a lot of good things, Dirk. This team is doing a lot of good things, but we don't have that one guy like Alex Patan who you can count on for a goal a game, which makes a huge difference, or Tanner Carroll. So consequently, we got to do it by group. I mean, you need that secondary scoring. And I think a good just a good example of that is their Soucier kid. He's got one goal going into the weekend, and I think he's got maybe 8 points in 60 or something career games, and he gets the first two goals for them on Friday night. Talk about secondary scoring. Like, we did a real good job holding most of their top players off the score sheet for the weekend, and they did a great job, Lucchini and Hayden and Lesperance. These guys got to step up, and I think Jake's having a good year, but Tyler and Joel, two of our top returning goal scorers, I think they're pressing so much now that they've just got to make sure they're playing well defensively, and they'll get their opportunities, and they can get on a tear here in the last month, which will really help us.
Jake Jackson was quiet this weekend too.
Well, he is. He's been quiet for a while. Yeah. He's got to continue to play all around. I think some of our players, and I'm not saying they are, the specific ones, come in and they're worried about their offensive numbers. They're worried about scoring. And as soon as that happens, you're going to be cheating. You're going to be on the wrong side of the puck. You're not going to maybe work as hard defensively to come back and get the puck and turn up and go on offense. All those things. And we've got to make sure we're rock solid defensively. And then you're going to get your opportunities. And we're getting our opportunities. Tyler had a great chance on Friday night to really give us a couple goal lead. I think he had four or five shots in the game. So, and they're not going in this year, but you can't give up the other part of your game. Just because you're not doing well offensively, you can't forget about the defensive part of the game.
Coach, any word on TV coverage for the WCHA playoffs, especially for the championship game?
Not at this point. I know they're trying to deal with Fox Sports North. Maybe if Bemidji gets it, they'll do it out of there. I'm not sure. There's a couple other networks they're working with to try and make sure we get that game on.
Blue Line Club luncheon on Friday at noon. You will have a couple of players there too?
We will, and I'm not sure. I've got two in mind that we've sort of talked, but we got to make sure they don't have class on Friday. Class, Dirk, we are in the academic business, and our guys are doing well in the classroom. So, but yes, we'll have a couple of players here on Friday. So they just won't have to hear me talk again. They'll hear from a couple of young guys, young intelligent guys.
I cannot wait to hear how loud the McGinnis is going to be. Tickets are available. General admission. Standing room tickets are available at the ticket office. Again, if you're looking for a reserved seat, call Aaron or anybody else up there at the central ticket office, and there might be some available later on in the week. You just never know.
Well, some will come up, and I think they might even – I don't know if they'll take a waiting list. They might be able to take your name for you, so when they do come available, let them know. But, again, thanks for all our support. We got the best fans in college hockey. We just found that out this weekend. They had decent crowds, huge games. But anyway, you could walk up and get a ticket easy, and that's what I like about this area. It's great hockey country, and that's fantastic. And I know, I'll tell you this, Dirk, I will guarantee our players will be ready to go Friday. They'll be jumping.
7:07 Friday night, get your tickets. We'll see you at the games. That's the Mel Pearson Show here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Blue Line Luncheon at noon. To reserve your seat by noon on Thursday, email blueline@mtu.edu.
Broadcasting from WKMJ FM Hancock. Victoria.